Hey everybody, it's Karin and Kylie.
Hi.
And we are back with another episode of Hopes and Dreams podcast. We wanted to start this out by letting you know about a very important thing that is happening today, the day you're hearing this, at our Wisconsin State Capitol. It is the Rally for Reproductive Freedom. That is starting at 2 p.m. On the second floor of the East Wing. So we wanted to make it a point to let everybody know about that. Get down there, march for our reproductive rights, for our reproductive freedom, because that is a great way to go into what this episode is about.
Yes, today's episode is going to be our very first two-parter. Today's part one of Woo-hoo. Women's health. We're going to be talking a lot about women's health, periods, menstrual opes, all of the goods. So yeah, let's go.
All right. Part one. Let's get into it.
Hi. Hello there.
I'm gonna take those. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm almost caffeinated.
Oh, good. I'm getting there too myself.
Yeah. Well, hi there, listeners. Welcome back to Opes and Dreams. You are joining us for episode four. Thank you so much for being here. We are eternally grateful for all of the friends and family and strangers who have liked, listened, and subscribed. It means a lot that you show your support. We love you. Last week, we had the guys on, and as Alex pointed out hilariously, we're going to do this whether or not you like, share, or subscribe. But please do it, because that helps us out.
It really does.
And we want to reach people. Maybe somebody listening, especially to today's episode, can feel heard or feel helped or feel support in some way. That's the goal. We want to reach out to people. So help us!
Yes, please. Please support, like, share, follow us on the socials. It's all incredibly helpful for us. And we really deeply appreciate it. But we are going to do this whether you listen to us. So... This is just going to happen regardless. So you might as well enjoy the fun, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Awesome.
So what else happened last week? Oh, yeah, we wanted to plug a little bit more of Main Dan's bands.
Main Dan is my boyfriend, if anybody's wondering.
That's what Devere calls him. we know some Dans. Shout out to all the Dans we know. We love all of our Dans, but Devere dubbed him Main Dan, which we think is really cute and funny. So we're rolling with it.
Yeah, we are. We sure are. So Dan's in a lot of bands. And he forgot to mention our personal favorite band, Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands.
Jazz Hands is such a good band.
And you have to do Jazz Hands when you say Jazz Hands.
You sure do. They don't play enough, which is really unfortunate. That's one of those bands that you wish like played more often, but they're such busy guys. Everybody in that band is like in 15,000 bands, so it's really hard to like get them into one spot. I don't know I do know when they'll be playing again.
Ooh,
they're going to be playing March 14th at the Up North Bar, which is Dan's birthday.
Ooh.
So if you're hearing this and you want to go and celebrate him and all of his wonderfulness and see Jazz Hands, go there.
And it's Pi Day. And that's when my friend Ashley is due.
But
also
it's most importantly Dan's boy. Dan's birthday. It's my sweet baby angel was born that day. Anything interesting happened last week aside from that?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. I want to talk about the retreat that I went to.
Cool.
It was called Radiant Renewal at Aldo Leopold Nature Center in Monona. My friend Emma Rose. Hi, Emma. Hope you're listening. Her and her friend Joanna put on, this is the second retreat that they've done. It's an all-day thing where we do gentle yoga. We do breath work. There's lunch by forage. There's an ice bath at the end. We do some art therapy where we all paint. It's very fun. It's rejuvenating. And it's just a lovely day of connection. My personal favorite part is the journaling, though. I used to journal a little bit more frequently and kind of fell out of it as life continued happening. And the last retreat that I went to in November, we did journaling and there were some prompts and it sort of reignited that fire in me. I really enjoy like freestyle writing. I write a lot for my various jobs, and this kind of writing is very therapeutic. It's not a diary.
It can be a diary, though.
It can be, but this kind of journaling is more like
intentional.
Yeah, you don't pay attention to how well you're writing or right. how well you're spelling. You just got to get it out of your brain.
You're not planning like somebody's going to find this when you're dead and right. they're going to read all of your like innermost secrets.
But like if they do, maybe they'll write a New York Times bestselling book about it.
Right.
And you'll be famous from the grave.
Right. Isn't that what everybody aspires to?
One tip that if you're interested in getting into journaling, this really helped. On a piece of paper, write down 1 through 30 or 31, whatever month you're doing. And then on each number, write a thing that's in your life. I did like relationship, parenting, my car, my kid. I did my best friends, Kat, Christina, and Karin. And then on that day of the month, you write about that thing. And it's just
you're like, gonna write about me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. I literally had blacked out all of that, unfortunately. And then all I said is she that's right, Karin. I was like, oh, that's me.
She's disassociating already.
It happens. It's unfortunate. It's just really how it goes.
So that was just like a really nice prompt. If you want to get into journaling, start that. If you have any questions or other suggestions for how you like to journal, drop comments on our socials and let us know. We would love to hear from you.
We always want to hear from you.
Karin also had a busy week.
I did have a busy week. I don't know if we've mentioned that I am a Pilates instructor. I think we might have touched on it briefly. And this week I got the pleasure of covering all of the classes at the studio. Haley, hello Haley, if you're out there listening, went out of town for the week. So I covered her classes as well as mine. And I really had a huge like growth from my teaching style from the beginning of the week to the end. I taught in total 23 classes.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot. And I just noticed like from the beginning to the end, my teaching style totally changed. I became a lot more relaxed, a lot more trying to like just be perfect at it. And I noticed towards the end of the week, a lot more compliments coming in and just a lot more feedback from the clients that were coming in. That felt really, really good.
Awesome.
There was one client that came up and, you know, asked me for advice on how to do something that she'd been struggling with. And I taught her how to do it in a more accessible way for her. And it was just really neat to see that like aha light bulb moment go off in her head. So it's really validating. For, you know, an instructor, for anybody that's trying to help other people feel their best. That's just like one of the best things and the most rewarding things for me being a Pilates instructor is seeing people's progress and how much better they get and more confident, especially. And it's like they're not necessarily doing these things like correctly per se, but just the confidence level that comes with it is really, really rewarding. So I was, it was a good, it was a very tiring week. But it was just like very rewarding and gratifying. So
that's amazing.
I was really excited about that.
Yay. Yeah, we both work with clients. Karin's got her Pilates clients and I've got my hair clients. And it's very much the same with the validating of yourself and your choice in what we're doing when we get that feedback. I had several new clients last week also. One of them, I was actually not happy with the end result. And I ended up texting her a few days later and letting her know that I wasn't happy with the end result and asked if she'd be willing to come back and let me do it again for no charge. So she's coming back Tuesday, tomorrow, when this episode comes out. I'm really excited to like have another shot. She's been sending me some photos. It's a texture that I'm not very good at, and I want to get good at it. So I asked if she'd be willing to sort of let me practice on her, and she was super excited about it.
That's so awesome.
I'm really grateful to have those opportunities and to always be learning and always be growing and always be trying new things.
Right.
Our brains thrive on challenges. So,
and that's where all the growth comes from.
Yeah.
Like you, if you're doing the same thing and you're not open to learning or open to, feedback or constructive criticism or just any kind of thing, you're never going to grow. So always be open to hearing the good and the bad from people. I mean, it's always good to hear, you know, praise, but some of the most important growth comes from being open to criticism. So
yeah, for sure.
Something that's, you know, it's hard, you know, for everybody, but it's just, it's good. So do that.
Great.
Yeah.
Try new things.
So,
all right, should we dive headfirst?
Let's get into it. I mean, let's get into it. We have a very important episode today. Yes. We're talking about women's health, period, yeah. Menopause, just all the things. So,
yeah, we wanted to make sure that all of our listeners, including men,
especially men,
yeah,
don't skip this episode.
Please don't. It's really important to listen. And educate yourselves. We spent a little bit of time doing some research. All of our sources we can't exactly place, but we didn't find
them on memes on the internet. Yeah. We can promise that.
We actually looked stuff up. I have a masterclass subscription and there's a whole class on menopause.
I listened to some expert podcasts about it too.
Yeah. So men, please listen. This will help you be a supportive person for all of the women in your life, your sisters, your mom, your partners, your friends. Don't just chalk this up to us being crazy. It's not okay to ignore it. You should embrace it and impress the women in your life with knowledge that you gain.
It could save your marriage.
Yeah,
you know, women absolutely. Go through a huge change during this phase of their life or this, you know, chapter in their life. So it's just something that would help you understand what's going on with them better. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to Kylie last night when we were having our rundown meeting how you'll notice every time if, say, a man goes in and gets a diagnosis for something, how the woman will be the first person that takes charge and goes home and does the research and looks in and is just right there, like getting as much knowledge as they possibly can. And I really hope that in a good, strong partnership that would go both ways, that absolutely. When women start going through this phase in their life, that the men will step up and start doing all of that research and get to know as much as they possibly can about it. Cause it's really important. So
yeah, it's super important. It's becoming more, I guess, mainstream. The education, the information is easier to access than it was when we were kids. I didn't have a very transparent education about my menstrual cycle at all. I kind of had to just figure it out on my own, which is fine. I figured it out. But it's nice for the next generations to have this education at their literal fingertips, on their phones, on the internet. You can learn anything, but if you listen to this podcast, you'll also learn a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. And dads, you know, like,
that's a
big thing too. Help your daughters, like, have normal conversations about it. Mm-hmm. Like, let them know that you're also a safe space and they don't have to be scared of what they're going through. Cause they're already at a hard life, assuming, you know, we go through our periods or get our periods. I got mine at 11. I mean, that's a really vulnerable time for us as women, as somebody going through this scary transition in our life. It's really important that we can lean on, you know, both the men and women in our lives to feel okay about this and feel safe. So
for sure.
Hashtag be a man and learn about menopause.
Because of course it's called menopause.
Menopause.
I wonder who came up with the actual term. That's something that we didn't look up.
Guessing it wasn't a woman. Just going to go ahead and put that out there. All right.
Oh, man.
Periods. We went out, we posted on our socials this week. Asking for people to share their funny period oops or their tips or tricks or just advice for things that they've gone through or they wish people would know a little bit more about. So we're just going to take some time to kind of go through all of those right now. And we definitely thank people for participating.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So
all of your comments were great. A few of the first ones, blood clots.
Yeah.
They are real and not harmful when it is during your period. They can be terrifying if you've never had one before.
When you see
so crazy.
Yeah. They're like enormous. And every single time I've seen it, I'm like, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with me. Like, what is this? And I can't tell if it always was like that for me or if that developed like later on. I guess I never really paid attention, but I feel like sometimes, I mean, the comment that was made was that they're like the size of Texas and like, that's not wrong. That's not wrong at all. It's like a very like alarming amount of blood that is coming from you. Right. And it's just a weird thing. And it's
super weird.
Find out more about that at all?
No, but I remember getting them like earlier in my life. I can't say that I've had large blood clots. I guess, after being more of an adult, and then pregnancy is sort of an exception to all of the period right. rules. But yeah, I remember getting them in like high school and after high school, and it was crazy. It kind of depended on what birth control I was using at the time mm-hmm. that they would come out super wild.
Yeah. Yeah. another topic that was brought up is the period cups or the diva cups. It's a hard no for me.
Same.
I've never tried one and I'm not going to. I'm not going to put something that they advertise that's supposed to also go in your dishwasher with your dishes.
I mean, no shame to those
no,
that do it.
If people love it, I just haven't figured it out. I have a really hard time in this, maybe TMI, but that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time generally putting inanimate objects inside of me.
Sure.
So tampons, things like, unfortunately, I'm a pad girl and, you know, Same. That's just how it is. It's just how it is. I've never had that comfortability of, I've never gotten the tampon figured out. Oh. It's pinchy. It feels weird.
Yeah.
So putting anything like a cup inside of me, I guess I don't know much about my own body or my own anatomy down there, but like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it's just not something I'm going to like fiddle around with.
Right.
I think we're just not going
to
do that.
I like to say I don't like being that up close and personal with my own hoo-ha.
Me either.
I'm not into it.
We're not besties.
I know my hoo-ha very well, but I don't subscribe to the cup. I did try it.
Okay.
I gave it a go.
Did you do it for research for this episode? Or was it like prior?
This was very much prior.
Out there. We actually have a video of that. I'm just going to do that later.
I did have in our notes to try not to be gross, but
yeah,
we'll see how this
we're throwing them so, you want us to be authentic, don't you? So yes, you're just going to get what comes with that, which is part of normalizing the conversation. So,
yeah, I much prefer pads as well.
I didn't even see that on the list, actually, of things. I just kind of went with that and
nice.
Didn't even notice. We didn't talk about that last night, so that's interesting that we have that same experience.
Yeah, I prefer pads. Every time. I have an IUD right now, but I remember when I didn't have an IUD for like a year after I had Devere, I put one in and then I took it out and then I put one in and then I took it out and then I put one in again. So it's mm-hmm. been a little back and forth between that last gap of not having it in. We were in Jamaica and then I got my period.
Of course.
I got my period on vacation and I wanted to swim in the ocean. And so I went to a store, like a little shop down the road, and I was looking on the shelves and he only had pads. And I asked him, like, do you have any tampons? And he said, yes, I do. My granddaughter actually mailed me this box of tampons, but I didn't put them out because I don't know what to charge for them. And so I sort of did the math with J's, as they're called in Jamaica, mm-hmm. the Jamaican money.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I gave him, what was it, like eight or 10 J's
for the box,
for like a handful.
Okay.
Just
okay.
to last me for the trip. So right. I could swim in the ocean. Otherwise, yeah, I don't really like tampons anymore because the organic cotton ones are so expensive and I would rather just do the pad because I'm a visual learner and there is nothing worse than pulling out a dry tampon.
Well,
it
yeah.
is the most uncomfortable thing. It's like, it's a sensory overload of like the fibers rubbing together. Like imagine
right.
that down there.
It's, yeah. It's the whole concept of it just doesn't fit right with me. And also I, going along with the visual thing, I like to know what's going on. I like to be
yeah.
able to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that you get a clearer picture of like being able to make yep. sure that things are regular and normal by seeing it right there.
Because there's often times where in my period I would have a steady flow and then like a day off and then a flow again. So it really helps with A, not wasting products, and
right.
B, not hurting yourself.
Right. Have you tried the underwear?
No.
I have them and I think they're really, really great for like the first day when it's like coming on. When it's
sure.
full Niagara Falls, like they're for me, they're not going to work.
Yeah.
But they're really, really nice as like, you know, an alternative.
Sure.
The concept is also kind of weird because it's like,
so long as they're not toxic though.
I don't, you got to get the right brand.
Yeah.
Of course. Cause I'm sure they make like everything is, you know,
do your research.
Yeah. You just got to make sure that you're getting a nice brand. That's a little bit, you know, better, but I've tried them and for like, if, so it's like best for like, if you know, it's coming on
Right.
And you want to be prepared, but like, you don't want to wear a pad all day long when you don't actually have your period. It's really, really nice for that like preparation. So in case it does come, then you're like, okay, you're good to go.
See, I would do the opposite. I would wear them at the end for like those last spotty days.
Yeah, you could do that too if you wanted to. Just like, you know, a different pair, obviously. Right. So, like, take them off and then like, oh, time to put these back on. Just get a second pair. Or they're kind of expensive. They're like $30.
Are they?
Like one. Yeah. I mean, that maybe that price has gone down, but I mean, so. You know.
Tell us about your period panties in the comments.
Yeah, tell us about them. If you have a brand that you recommend or if you've had success or anything like that, let us know, because I'm open to finding more and better ones. And I think it's a cool concept. It just makes sense to me. So, you know.
Imagine what it was like in like the 1800s and 1700s where they didn't even really wear undergarments.
They probably put women in through lobotomies just because they were bleeding. Or like, they're witches. They weren't actually witches, turns out. It was just women with their periods because they're bleeding.
There's cultures where they have like huts where they have to go in this hut by themselves for like a week, which in theory sounds great.
Send me to a hut in the jungle for a week during my cycle.
But it's actually kind of
left alone.
It's kind of terrifying because you don't get to bathe. You don't get to like clean yourself up.
You're being punished.
Yeah, it's basically punishment. I read a book. It's up on my shelf. It's called The Widows of Malabar Hill, and it's based on the first female solicitor in India. And it takes place in the 1920s. And she talks about when she gets married, she moves in with her husband, and her mother-in-law makes her stay in like a closet for the whole time she's on her period. While she's in there, she finds like scratches on the wall and remnants of her husband's younger sister who had died from complications.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like it's terrifying. So maybe let's make these huts like in the Maldives when we talked about travel.
Yeah, like an overwater bungalow type moment where we like also have a hot tub like right over the ocean we can go enjoy. And it's okay. We don't have to put a tampon in because that's just, well, you know, it's what it's supposed. You know, in my head it seems better. Just like a whole entire like menstrual cycle spa.
Yeah.
Like let's do that somehow.
Menstrual spa.
Okay. What's another one that people had said?
So we have the fibroids. I looked up and I did some research on the fibroids, which are also called uterine myoma.
Okay.
They are non-cancerous growths in the uterus that can develop during a woman's childbearing years. And then they develop when cells overgrow in the wall of the uterus. This can cause infertility, blockage of urinary tract or bowels, or anemia, and also heavy bleeding, back pain, and pain during sex, which sounds awful. The commenter is a friend of ours, and she didn't really know what was happening when she went to her doctor, and she ended up getting a full hysterectomy to remove them. That's intense.
That is really intense. Listen, what we go through, again, the more we learned about menopause this last week, it's just like it's mind blowing. Yeah. Like what women have to endure. And it's all of us.
Everybody. Not everybody's going to get fibroids,
right.
But every woman is going to go through this experience of getting your period, getting used to it. And then by the time you're used to it, it changes and you go through perimenopause.
And I mean, and it was wild to me to learn about just like how it affects the brain and just, I mean, it's really mind blowing. We'll get more into it. We did miss one little comment. It was interesting about, steak cravings.
Oh yeah.
A week before, your cycle, but I'm guessing that has something to do with iron and iron levels.
Yeah.
That's probably that, because I feel like we lose our iron levels a little bit. So we've got to, supplement with those sometimes. So that was a really interesting one. Like, I want the meat.
Right.
But it's very primal.
But if you're vegetarian, I'm sure there's iron supplements out there.
Oh yeah.
Actually, my sister had an iron deficiency during, I think, one of her pregnancies. Brittany had like, Hi Brittany. Of all of the minor to medium to extreme complications during pregnancy, she probably had almost all of them during her three pregnancies. Like, each one was different, But there was something in each one. And that also is something that men just like don't really have to experience. And if you have a female partner who is pregnant or on her period, it's really important to be as supportive as possible. And my brother-in-law, Mike, shout out to Mike.
Hi, Mike.
He's an amazing human. And he's a great supportive partner for my sister.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
One of the common things, and of course for anybody, is going to be natural remedies for period symptoms. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to run down that kind of list right now of the things that I found and have tried myself. So for like periods and cramp relief, like pain relief, my go-to is clary sage. It's an essential oil that I take a little bit of, and I mix it with like coconut oil, because you want to carry your oil with it. And I just massage it into my abdomen when I start getting a cramp. And it has worked for me every single time. The stuff is really amazing. It's got an interesting smell, and you can get it at like most co-ops and stuff like that.
Cool.
So that's been really, really helpful for me.
Nice.
Heat therapy,
yep.
Heating pads,
yep.
Hot water bottles, warming blankets. That's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan. I know it's the last thing that we ever want to do, but gentle exercise, yoga,
right?
Walking, stretching, is really, really helpful. It releases endorphins, and it actually acts as natural painkillers. So it's something, if you're looking to not to avoid like Midol or Tylenol or anything like that, can't recommend it enough. Ginger tea is like a natural ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces pain. It's really nice. It's as effective as Tylenol, actually. So that one I really recommend. Also with turmeric.
Yeah.
It's anti-inflammatory. So that's another really one. If you could make like a nice turmeric tea, or golden milk is really nice at night. If you take turmeric tea with like milk or oat milk at the end of the night, a little bit of honey, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. Other symptoms, bloating, water retention. I know it sounds kind of counterproductive, but drinking, staying hydrated, is really good. Dandelion tea, it's a natural diuretic, and it helps flush out fluids. So if you are feeling bloated, that's something that can naturally help you to feel a little better. Reduce salt and processed foods, even though that's like all we want when we have our periods. Like, who doesn't want a large fry?
Yes.
Or anytime really for me, but like, who doesn't want that, especially then? But it's not going to really help.
Right.
Another thing that we suffer from is mood swings, which is, it's just a thing. And that can happen, you know, leading up to your cycle or during or after.
Mm-hmm.
So some things to like kind of help alleviate that are omega-3s. Flax seeds, walnuts, chia seeds, taking vitamin B6. It helps support serotonin production.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps stabilize mood, which you can find in bananas, potatoes, and avocados.
Banana.
Adaptogenic herbs like ashwagandha,
yep.
Maca roots. These are all things that you can get at most stores now in like, you know, the smoothie aisle or wherever you're at. Ashwagandha is really amazing just for calming. Some people do have an issue with it though, so try it. And if it doesn't work for you, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, it causes more anxiety, but it just depends on you. Just like how sometimes caffeine for, like, I have ADHD and sometimes I can get very tired after I have coffee and caffeine.
Sure.
And then of course, good sleep.
Mm-hmm. Sleep is so important.
So important.
For everybody.
Yeah. It's really amazing when you don't get sleep, what happens to you as a person. Which I've been unfortunately experiencing a lot of lately, due to something completely unrelated than my cycle.
Yep.
Also for heavy bleeding, like going back to like, you know, those blood clots and stuff like that, leafy green, iron rich foods, greens, lentils. You really want to replenish lost iron during this time. It helps prevent fatigue. And cinnamon, which is a fun one that I learned. Cinnamon actually helps reduce heavy bleeding and pain.
But not cinnamon rolls, unfortunately.
Not cinnamon rolls.
Which
that was highly
was sad.
First go to, she's like, oh, cinnamon rolls. I'm like, not so much cinnamon. Some cinnamon. Sprinkle the cinnamon on your things and sprinkle it in your tea, your coffee, if you really want to. I think that's, put some cinnamon tea in, or cinnamon in with your coffee grounds.
Mm.
And then for like our digestive issues we have, sometimes we get really constipated. We get nausea. Some people get diarrhea in extreme cases.
Poops.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
So to help with that, because we're not being gross, To help with that peppermint tea, that helps me with so many things as it is, but that really, really helps with digestive discomfort. And probiotics in kombucha, kimchi, yogurt. They help support gut health and reduce period-related digestive issues. So that's just a couple of things that people were asking for as natural remedies. And if you have more, of course, chime in. Let us know.
I have one one thing that consistently works for me is actually breath work. So I learned more about breath work by doing those retreats. But long before I ever did that, I figured out when I start feeling the halo of pain around my midsection, it starts to creep down into my thighs and my thighs will go numb. So I remember one time Alex and I were out to eat and I put my fork down and I sat back and I closed my eyes and I took a deep breath in. When you blow out through the straw, like you pretend you're blowing through a straw.
Same with Pilates.
Yes. And it just like focusing on that exhale and putting all of the energy and all of that pain into that exhale helps alleviate the pain for me. And it's just a nice little trick.
That's a great trick. Is that something you can do anywhere? And it's free. Yeah.
And so it's funny. Alex will always, when I do that, he'll be like, oh, babe, you're getting some cramps, some crampy. It's very sweet.
It's really nice. Another a listener comment that we got was castor oil.
Interesting.
Castor oil. That one I would not have thought of, but I feel like they used castor oil for so much back in like our grandparents' days. Yeah. Like that was just like a go-to, you know, remedy for like everything, kind of how like coconut oil is now. So castor oil, that was a really interesting one. So putting castor oil packs on and then a heat wrap, it can help, but it's not advised for pregnant women or breastfeeding women because they don't yet know the impact on babies.
Because there's not enough research done.
On women's health in general.
Yet again.
We love that.
So another part from the commenter who suggested the castor oil also had a great local suggestion for women's healthcare here in Madison. We're in Madison, Wisconsin, by the way. I don't know if we've ever,
let any listeners know that anybody, maybe we don't want you to know. Just kidding. We do, but we're in Madison, Wisconsin. So
they suggested, quality and continuity of gynecological care is very important. There's some OBGYNs that are great. There's some that are not great. But the women's health is for, it's better than the UW or SSM system. They take Badger Care. They're women owned, managed, and operated, and they're local. So check them out if you are looking for better women's health care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Which is really great. Thank you for that.
Another comment that we got was from a friend. For birth control, crazy birth control stories. So she had the Depo shot when we were older teens and literally had a consistent period for 7 months.
Yikes.
I can't imagine.
No.
I don't know if I would have lasted 7 months.
No, absolutely.
I probably would have called it at like 2.
I would have called it at like 2 weeks. I think that would have been, because I just can't imagine what that's doing for the hormones. That would absolutely drive me absolutely insane.
So crazy. I've tried like all of the birth control methods. I first tried the
patch. Did you do it just in this last week for the podcast? She's just out here being our test dummy for all women's products. Thank you, Kylie, for your service. We appreciate it. So nice.
I tried the pill first. When I was a young teen, as an older teen, I tried the patch. Mm-hmm. I hated it. I'm pretty sure I had a miscarriage from it.
Okay.
Or massive blood clots. I'll never know because I didn't go see a doctor because I was 18.
Is it a blood clot or is it a baby?
Yeah.
Jesus. Tune in, you know, for more.
Like when we were at the coffee shop last week. Is it my uterus or is it pizza?
Right.
So the patch was gross. It left like that sticky ring that stickers leave on your skin because you have to have it on for a week.
Yeah.
It was awful. I tried the NuvaRing and I hated that because it came out every time my partner at that time when we were having sex, it consistently came out. So I would take it out before sex and like, what's the point of birth control if you take it out to be intimate?
Don't they say you can use it, but it just doesn't seem like it adds up.
Yeah. It's just,
no.
It's actually kind of funny.
I bet.
Flashbacks. Anyway, I love my IUD. I advocate for IUDs because it's one of those out of sight, out of mind types of birth control, similar to the depot shot. However, the depot shot and NexPlanon and the implant that goes in your arm, I've got friends who had extreme weight gain, experienced worse mood swings. Like, it didn't help regulate. It was just like a convenient birth control. If those work for you, awesome. That's wonderful. But I have not heard good experiences from those. I also, while scrolling the other day, watched a video, and it was wild, the process of how they input the NexPlanon in your arm. It's like this tiny needle that goes right under the surface of your skin. And it's like, I can't describe it. If we were recording this, you could see me and using my hand.
That is just like, what?
It was, I was watching it and I'm like, what is that? Because I see a lot of like hair removal videos from men's beards or people that ingrown hair. So I thought it was one of those videos. But then afterwards, the device comes out of the skin and then they kind of shift the rod around just under the surface, and it sort of made my skin crawl.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to IUD, is that the one where people say they pass out because the pain is so horrible when it gets removed?
Or when it gets inserted more so.
Okay. That sounds like, see, that's something that would, no.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
I remember when I first got my IUD, they only gave it to me. At the time, I was 22. Mimo's barking at somebody. He's a good guard dog. So I was pretty young. At the time, they did not openly offer IUDs for women who had not experienced a pregnancy or birth before because of the pain of putting it in. However, I had had an abortion in late 2012. So since I had experienced that pain, because that's awful, but necessary.
Yes.
They let me have it. And I was super grateful.
Right.
I love my IUD. It's, I don't ever want to take it out.
Well, don't. Unless you want to, and then you can.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex had offered sort of recently, just kind of said, hey, you know, if you ever wanted me to get a vasectomy, I would be open to that. And I was like, oh, really? And he said, yeah, I know you love your birth control, but if you ever wanted to not have it, I would be open to getting that procedure. I said, thanks, babe.
Right.
That's really sweet. Supportive partner.
So circling back to abortion and abortion care and it being part of healthcare, I think, you know, this is where the episode is going to get into some realness here.
Trigger warning
for people about this is we both have had one.
Yep.
And I think our stories are a little bit similar with that. Mine happened in my 20s, dating a guy that was also dating other people. And he was also in the military. So if this baby would have come full term to fruition, he wouldn't have been able to see the child's like first steps or like 3 years of his life. Cause he was going back overseas, allegedly, who knows? He was kind of a liar. and I don't care if you're listening to this, but, you know, like, so it was just better for me in my life at that time. I was living in my parents' basement.
Yeah.
My stepfather, who I love, if I'm not sure he'll ever listen to this, but he is a very serious Republican conservative, and he is anti-abortion. However, he did help me monetarily with it.
Nice.
He did, you know, let me know, like, I don't believe in this, but I believe that this isn't the right situation for you or for this baby and all of that. So. Wow. I got mine the day that Obama got inaugurated into presidency. Yeah, so that's one that I will never forget. But it is, there are situations where it is necessary. And absolutely. I don't, you can't convince me otherwise, not just because I've had one, but because there are situations. And it is not up to anybody in this entire world to tell me what I can and cannot do with my body.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah. End of story.
End of story.
My story was from 2012. I would have been baby mama number three.
Oh, cute.
And he lives in a different state that I hope I never have to go back to. F you, Indiana.
Indiana.
It was just not, it wasn't a good situation. I was living by myself. I have supportive family. I have people in my life who would have helped and it would have been fine, but I wasn't comfortable having that life planned out for me in that way. Mm-hmm. That's not what I wanted. I've always had a 5-year plan. Ever since I was 15, I've had a 5-year plan for what I want to accomplish. And that just wasn't in the plan. And I didn't want to derail my entire life because I didn't have to. So I chose not to. And literally 2 months after I had my abortion, I met Alex.
Right.
And it's one of the first things that I told him. He knew right away. He was very sad for me, but he was super supportive. And now we got to plan our parenthood.
So you don't just hate babies.
Right.
So you actually had a child after that. Yes. So this just shows that there's a level of intention and thought that should go into family planning.
Absolutely.
And all situations and scenarios should be allowed that suits you best for your family. I've gone the other way. I've chosen not to have kids. I'm not going to have children. It's something my mental health, I don't think, could handle. I am a very overly sensitive person to noise, to just all kinds of things that completely destroys and deteriorates my nervous system.
Right.
I can't handle outside secondary noise, I call it. I can't handle it. So I couldn't imagine a child running around me screaming. All of that kind of, it just wouldn't be good for me or for that situation or for that kid.
Yeah.
So that's just something, a choice that I am allowed to make for myself. And gratefully, I have a partner who's very on board with that. I joke about it sometimes where I'll be like, oh, just a sweet little baby. Because, and yes, Dan, I'm pulling this out. I took a picture of him as a baby on his wall at his mom's house the other day. And I mean, who?
Oh, come on. The blonde hair. Where did it go?
He's just the cutest little thing. So, I was joking about the other day. I'm just like, oh, but how would you not want? But then I'm like, I like to travel. Period. Yeah. That's just, we like our freedom and our travel and just not having our life dictated by a little tiny asshole. That's where I'm at. And it props to you people that say the kids enhance their lives, all that. I bet they do. I love being an auntie to my friend's kids. Mm-hmm. That's my role.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. I like being a sister to Devere.
Sister aunt.
I'm a sister aunt. I'm a co-mom, sister, pesky person. I annoy him more than he annoys me. That's for sure.
It's wonderful.
But that's just what my role, and that's what I was meant to be. And that's just what works out because I can go away from that noise.
Right.
Something I can escape from. So.
And we planned on having two kids because I've got siblings and Alex does not. So we thought it was important to provide a sibling, but it didn't happen.
Right.
And I didn't want to force it. If it wasn't meant to be, it's not meant to be. There were lots of life things happening and it just didn't work out. And at this point I don't want to have another one. So we decided to just stick with the one and done. We both enjoy the life trajectory that we're on. And I feel like that would disrupt it in a way that I don't want my life disrupted.
Right.
So I think it's really important for everybody to feel comfortable and confident in what you want for your life and your body. Pregnancy is very hard. Mine was great all in all, but it was still really challenging. It's a wild experience to go through pregnancy. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to.
No, you don't.
If you do want to do it, please do it. I tell my clients all the time, like, if you're maybe on the fence about having a kid or you're not sure that you should, don't do it. If you feel it in you like I did, I felt it in my bones that I wanted to be a parent. I wanted to create a person for the world that was a good person. I just like felt it inside of me. And I think other moms can probably, what's the word I'm looking for? They probably feel the same way.
Right. I bet. And I've never had that thought.
Yeah.
From even young, I just like did not see that. And I'm also an only child. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that like nurturing thing. I didn't have kids to grow up. I had my neighbor kids and I used to just boss them around and like I was so awful to them. But I I didn't have that. I have a half brother and a half sister, and I love them both very dearly. They are the greatest people in the entire world. Big shout out to them. I know my brother is listening. I love you so much. You're the best.
Hi, Virginia.
Oh, Lord. Sorry about that. But yeah, he's the best. And so I'm grateful that I had that, but I didn't have that nurturing thing in me from forever. I just never really had the big desire to be a parent. Sometimes it's just because I love my partner so much that I'm like, it would be really cool to like create life with him. But I mean, we'll have dogs and cats for that. And gardens and things like that and travel and experiences.
Fur babies are babies too.
So we have a surprise for you guys. We are doing our first two-part.
Whoop whoop!
So this is part one of a part two, two-part series that we're going to be doing. Just mostly because we have so much yet that we still want to talk about.
There's a lot
this is
to
such
unpack.
An important topic for us.
I just wanted to close out the pregnancy and childbirth part with some fun facts that I know. Back in the day, childbirth was a woman's only thing. Men were not in the room. They didn't want to be in the room. They weren't allowed in the room. They were very removed from childbirth. Midwives were all the rage. And then medical tools were being invented. And the male doctors wouldn't allow the female midwives to handle the medical tools.
So, we're going to yuck them up with our blood.
Right. So they like essentially pushed them out of the childbirth room. And then women used to routinely squat or be on all fours. You know, you let gravity kind of help you do the work. And the reason why we sit or lay on a bed is because King Louis wanted to watch. He was a curious and strange man, and he wanted to see what it was like. And so that was the like origin of women laying down for childbirth.
Thanks, King Louis.
Because men.
Thanks, King Louis. So we are going to end the conversations about these very important topics there for today. Next week, we will have so much more to talk about. We'll talk a little bit more about periods. We'll talk more about mammograms, menopause, just other aspects of women's health that are so, so important. So we have
menopause.
So much information to just fill up a whole nother episode, and we're really excited to do that. But we want to close out by once again thanking our amazing listeners, everybody that's listening, everybody that's been interacting on socials. If you want to support us in a different kind of way, aside from liking our socials, we have signed up for Buy Me a Coffee. Great way to buy us a coffee or just throw a little something at us if you feel like, if you can't stand the way our audio is, or if you just want to see us to be able to do a little bit more with this, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/hopesanddreamspodcast. And you can throw a little donation at us if you feel so inclined. Of course, we do not expect that. Just every little bit helps, and we love and appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to close out with?
I think that's it. We've got a lot of pages to go through next week, and it's going to be really fun diving into some of the fun medical stuff with menopause and the science behind it.
Science.
It's the science.
It's real. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love you, and we will see you, or hear, you'll hear us. Next week.
Bye.